Sister Cheryl said to me, we're just going to trust the Lord again today. I said, amen. Amen. That's the best thing we can do.
Yeah.
Best thing. Brother Dave, would you pray for us, please?
Amen.
Amen. Well, specializes in hard cases. That's what he's a doctor. That's what he does. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? Getting pretty close to that Bible reader's banquet. Pretty close. Over here on this side, Matthew wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a king is right. Down through here, Mark wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant is right. Down through here, Brother Luke wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a man is correct. Over here, Brother John, he writes and tells us over and over and over again, reminds us that Jesus is
God.
That's correct. God. Amen. Helen Keller said the Bible's the only way out of the dark. Now in your hand out there, there's a map. Make last week a little bit clearer. We're talking about the woman at the well. And most people took that bow around to the right. All the Jews would, I suppose, all of them. But the Lord Jesus came right down the middle and said, I must needs go through Samaria. And I'm glad one day he said, I must needs go through Nalan. He stopped by my place. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to see some light in it today. I ask that you be high and holy and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in chapter 4, we stopped there on verse 31. It's like a commercial. Said, in the meanwhile. Got some other things going on here during the woman at the well. And let's pick up right there, starting verse 31. And the disciples here are just like me so many times, and they misunderstand. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. It almost sounds like a command to me. You know, many times we try to tell him what to do. You may not. I try to tell him sometimes. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Well, see, they're like me. They're confused. They misunderstood. They didn't know what he was talking about. His meat was to obey, to get souls in, if you will, to obey the Father. Verse 34, here he's doing what he came to do. Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish the work." And then starting in 35, we see here, you know, actually He may be reaping seed that someone else sowed. And maybe that's what, maybe John the Baptist sowed some seed. And the Lord comes along here and reaps. Let's see if that's possible. Starting in 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." See, that's what His Father's business was, is harvest. And that's what ought to be our harvest, ought to be my harvest, is trying to get one more in at least, one more, two more. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth," see, the harvest and the reaping is what we're interested in, "receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Sometimes you think you're not doing any good when you're sowing. You're not there when the reaping's going on. But we just need to keep doing the same thing. Just need to keep hoeing our row and doing what we do. It's what we need to do. And herein is that saying true: one soweth and another reapeth. "I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Let's look at some verses on that. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. "Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." See, it's his. It's not ours. We can't make them get saved. We can shine a light so that they could see the Lord, see the way. James 5:20. And it's easy. It's easy to follow. The Lord did the hard part. James 5:20. "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." That's the Father's business that we need to be about. 1 Corinthians 9. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." I need to do everything willingly. Willingly. That should be my heart. Willingly. And then Proverbs 11:30 is my favorite. Maybe I can remember it easy because I think we've really passed the 11:30 hour. And on God's clock, I need to be busy. I need to be everlastingly at it. Proverbs 11:30. "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Talking about a good judgment. I need to have a good judgment. I don't need to hang my head on judgment day. Right. I need to let my light shine so others may see. Proverbs 11:30. I really believe we've passed 11:30. Let's go back to John 4 now, and we're down on verse 43. Here's the coming of a miracle. We're going to get a miracle here. "Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So he came for a miracle, but now the chiding of the miracle. The Lord maybe rebukes him here, maybe. 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now this implies that he wasn't by himself. There could be a crowd here. It wasn't for the chiding wasn't for the nobleman only, but for unbelievers in general. The reason is unbelief is often disguised. Matter of fact, it has many disguises, like if and stuff like that. But one disguise is to insist on the spectacular to prove or justify faith. And then more and more miracles for adequate proof. This all equals unbelief. There's already been enough miracles. There's already enough proof. There's already enough evidence. And we've got something they didn't have. We got the finished Word of God. We don't need any signs. Adequate and sufficient proof already exists. 49, the nobleman, though, is determined for his son, as any father would be. And he saith unto her, unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Then the command is in 50, verse 50, John 4, 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Is that clear? It's clear. It's clear. The Bible's clear.
Yes, it is.
Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. That's what I need to do, is believe the word. Believe the word. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. The word of God's not just clear, it's certain. The word of God is clear and certain. You can depend on it. You can count on it. You can believe it. Verse 50. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth. And himself believed and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. The command was to go thy way, thy son liveth. He believed the word and went. His word is as good as his presence. And his promise is as good as his person. Now I know it's going to be better when we get to heaven. But right now, when he says it, that's him. We got his word. It's clear and it's certain. It's clear and it's certain. You're right, Sister Cheryl. A little bit hard. Let's back up here about verse 25. John 4, 25. And the woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he's come, he'll tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Yes. Amen.
Clear, concise. Exodus 1. Exodus 1 is Moses in the bulrushes, Moses in the ark, a miracle. He's hid out. He's a hid out. His mama gets paid to raise him, but he grows up in the Egyptian schools, learns about the Egyptian courts and customs and laws, and in 2:3 he's hid out, and then verse 11, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Now, if I remember right, this is about 40 years. He's about 40 years old now. And then he's getting ready to go to Wilderness University for another 40 years. And then for 40 years, he leads the children to the promised land. 120 years was his life. The first 40, he went to school in Egypt. Let's read a little bit here. When he was growing, and he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burden, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared. And then he ran, and in verse 15, he crosses the desert, and he goes to Midian. And in verse 21, he gets a wife, a Midianite wife, Zipporah, and he hides out there on the backside of the desert, chapter 3, verse 1, keeping the flock and learning about the Lord in the wilderness, a dry time. Everybody's got to go through these trials of dry times or trials. And then down in verse chapter 3, Exodus 3:11, actually in verse 7, and the Lord said, he starts talking to Moses. Verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. It's God talking. It's not you, it's me. He said, I shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, all capital letters, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am sent me unto you. I am the great I am, the self-existent one, the one that you could hold a dime out at arm's length and that covers up 15 million stars, is the one, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and me, the I am, the eternal one, the self-existent one. It's emphatic. There's no question about it, no mistake. It's not just a verb.
Right.
It's a name. It's a personal pronoun. Now let's go back and look at it in John 4. He told the woman at the well, he said, I that speak unto thee am he. Let's look at chapter 6. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He's the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He was using that Old Testament name. Chapter 7, verse 29. For I know him, for I am from above. He's talking about his Father. He knows the Father. He said, for I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. He said, I'm from above everything. I'm from the bosom. I was in the bosom. I'm above all. The great I am. Chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of the world. Just like chapter 1, verse 18. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, as another name for God, then shall ye know that I am he. And I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He's the light. He's from the Father above. Chapter 9, verse 5. He's the bread of life. Chapter 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 39. John chapter 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment, I am come into this world, and that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. Chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. There's no other way to get into heaven but through Jesus, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the door. I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 11. He's not just the door. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. By verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. How you doing? I'm not doing that great myself. How about 11:25? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Chapter 12, verse 46. Talk about the great I am, the self-existent one, the emphatic. 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Chapter 14. Let's just... Verse 6 is on your paper. Let's just start at verse 1. Red letters, isn't it? Red letters. The Lord's talking. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I think standing right here one day, the preacher told me about a sermon he'd heard at a camp meeting, and I've never forgot it. I didn't have to write it down. The Lord burned it on my heart. And here's what he said, the preacher said. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if you want to be saved, he's the way. He's the way. If you want to be sure about it, guess what? He's the truth. He's the truth. And if you want to be satisfied, he's the life. He's the life. I'm talking about abundant life. I'm talking about eternal life. Not just regular old life. I'm talking about living forever. I am. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father's the husbandman. 18, verse 4. John, Brother John's telling us over and over again that Jesus is God. 18:4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things. We'll go ahead and say omniscient. Can we go ahead and say omniscient like God is? God knows all. Who else knows all things? But He, it's God. It's the I Am. It's Jesus. It's Jehovah. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? He's talking to a band of soldiers. He's not talking to them. And they answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am He.
Yes, amen.
And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. And as soon then as He had said unto them, I am He, they went backward and fell on the ground. That's because He's the great I Am. From eternity to eternity. Then asked He them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am He. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Pretty good deal. Revelation 1:8, if you need a little bit of extra in here, if this is not enough, Revelation 1:8, it's through and through the Bible. Red letters? Yeah? Okay. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. How about verse 17? Still red letters? Well, we got to believe that, don't we? Or we get to. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead, and He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am, red letters, the first and the last. I am He that believeth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Did He know what He was saying, or is this just a play on words? He knew? Well, let's see. Let's look at it in John 5. John 5, 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay Him because He had done these things on the Sabbath day. He healed on the Sabbath and they never forgave Him. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill Him because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said that God was His capital F Father, making Himself equal with God. He knew and they knew. Can we know? Let's see. Chapter 8. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know. Do you know it this morning? Do you know who He is? I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I didn't used to know who He was. But I'm glad about it now, Brother Cale. I'm glad about it. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. He doesn't leave you alone either. For I do always those things that please Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, my students, my followers. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The centurion said, lied when he said, truly, this was the Son of God. He wasn't past tense. He am the Son of God. He still is the Son of God. He was, He is, He's going to be. He's always going to be. He am the Son of God. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Guess what? That's why you're here this morning. That's why you came, to learn more about the one that saved you. I will give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now, for anyone else it would be blasphemy, but for him it wasn't. He was telling the truth. Jesus answered, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods, and if ye be little g gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. He could have escaped on that day of Calvary, but he didn't. He went on purpose for me and for you.
Right.
Titus 2. He went on purpose like he planned before the foundation of the world. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Have you seen him? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace will teach us something. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.